Hello, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills and beyond, and also you can hear it at kzfr.org. I'm going to play a little, first of all, please stay tuned to listen to me, Ken Logan, for The Doctor's In, but I'm going to play a little The Doctor by Loudon Wainwright III, a little bit of that. Let's see if I can do that.
I went to the doctor and the doctor said, son, you look older than me. And I'm 71. You're falling apart. You're not living right. I went to the doctor and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle and you're losing the fight. To the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple. It's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse.
Oh, thank you, Loudon Wainwright III. Okay. Again, this is Dr. Ken Logan, and The Doctor's In is what you're listening to now. I want you to know, it's important for you to know, especially today on today's show, that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. And I would like you to know that The Doctor's In is made possible by you, the generous contributions that you make as KZFR supporters, and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner with the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity by producing and supporting events, and publishing a bi-monthly arts and cultural newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit Friends of the Art. And by Chico Spring Jam, which will be Saturday, April 28th at the Community Park off 20th Street in Chico. Saturday, April 28th. This year's tribute bands are performing the music of Bruce Springsteen, Van Morrison, Huey Lewis, Hart and the Traveling Wilburys. This family-friendly event also features attractions, games, kids' activities, food trucks, a beer and wine garden, and more. Details, tickets, and volunteer opportunities are available at Chico Spring Jam, one word, Chico Spring Jam, lowercase, ChicoSpringJam.com. All right. Again, thank you for being here with me today on The Doctor's In. I'm Ken Logan, family practice doc here in Chico, California. And what I like to do on 1 hour a month, the third Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m., is present some subjects in the health and medical realm that I think would be helpful for me to share with you, the listeners. Usually, it's things that I think it would be good to that require a bit of explanation that you might not get otherwise. But also, for instance, I'm going to tell you briefly here, give you a little rundown of what today's show is going to look like. I'm going to start out with a Fox News quote-unquote report that came out from from people associated with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, and relative to their skewed view of our COVID situation. Please listen to that. I have trouble even believing. Anyway, that's Fox News. So anyway, I'm going to talk about that. Then I'm going to talk about a discussion. I'm going to discuss the subject of lying from a doctor's standpoint and personality abnormalities standpoint to define some points. I'm going to do some definitions relative to, and it might include one of the people involved in politics in our country. And then hopefully I'll have time, I think I will, to get around to some medical news blurbs that I think are very, there's a variety of them, and they're just going to be brief little news, medical news blurbs. And then possibly, I think I'll probably have time to discuss the rise in measles and syphilis in the world, and specifically in this country, and why that is and what we can do about it. Okay. So, thank you for listening. Again, I say that. So, what I'm going to talk about now is on the 16th of this month, so just a few days ago, on Fox News, they presented, quote, here's the title of this presentation, this article they did, quote, new report blasts government's COVID response, comma, warns of repeating same mistake, end of quote. Oh, and if you read some of that, you'll, maybe you'll be amazed. So much to say about this as an evaluation of this article. In a nutshell, what they state is that we handle it wrong, including subjects such as masking, temporary closure of some schools, isolation advice, all those parameters they claim were wrong. Therefore, if and when a new infectious agent should arise, such as it did with COVID, where it was a new agent, we didn't know anything about it, we were flying by the seat of our pants, learning as we went, we should instead, they say, leave the whole mess to the general public to handle. No coordinated guidance approach should be done. That's the bottom line. And that all attempts to give guidance and coordinated approach were was wrong. And it was the wrong way to handle an infectious disease crisis. That's what these wealthy, elitist, right-wing MAGA people involved with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity had to put in their quote-unquote report that came over the news waves of Fox News on the 16th of this month. Unbelievable. So, what that moved me to was some things I'm going to talk about right now. And that has to do with, first, to tell you that these, what I'm going to say now, are my opinions as a general medical doctor in the United States for the last 40 years. Okay, when I'm talking about this Fox News quote-unquote report. So this kind of public exposure to this kind of reasoning and disinformation specifically set out to draw in certain elements of the general public, it just leaves me baffled as to how this can be accomplished so readily these days, including even in a network like Fox News. At least how it could be accomplished in our country. It reminds me of disinformation being disseminated in a controlled society, such as is likely to be present in a non-democratic country around anywhere around the world. Then I, as a medical doctor, then go on to think about the minds, the specific brains of people who might be listening to the skewed disinformation that these wealthy, elitist, right-wing, self-absorbed people put out into various media sites listened to by the general public. And I think about the human brain and its categories of work that our brains do. These, the categories I'm going to separate them, a couple general categories of what our brain does for us. One of them is the things that our brain does for us without us thinking. And those are rudimentary functions autonomically or without our thinking. And those are breathing, you know, heart beating, bowel function, etc. Then the other general category of our brain function has to do with, in my book, in my thinking anyway, has to do with actual thinking, both conscious thinking and subconscious thinking. And in that area of our brain, this work involves things such as critical thinking, reasoning, common sense. But here's the glitch. We also have areas of thinking that leads to beliefs. That is, thoughts that we carry as true without being such because of our critical thinking or reasoning, but beliefs the being of a thought that can be present when the origin of those beliefs do not have to be present because of critical thinking, not present because of any reasoning or common sense, but rather are present only because you have to be told to believe something, and you believe that particular person or entity for what they're telling you, not requiring actively formulating your own thought process on the subject, but just believing. It's what is taken advantage of. That area of our brain is taken advantage of with these beliefs and encouraged to be present and is manipulated to be present. And it's what I feel is occurring, that attempt in this news report from Fox News about that I think you should read. Again, that's called New Report Blasts Government's COVID Response. Warns of repeating same mistake from the 16th of this month on Fox News, which is not actually a report, but rather a subjective opinions from a people affiliated with an organization called the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. It was unbelievable to me when I read it. Okay, now I'm going on to think in our current society, the year 2024, because of the presence of the internet and because of the presence of social media sites, the general public is now vulnerable to disinformation. In other words, we're all now vulnerable to an ongoing barrage of information fed to us that is not true. It's up to each individual to sort out what is reliable information and what is not. It's a battle. The different segments of our population may be more different segments of our population may be more vulnerable to certain subjects involving disinformation compared to other segments of our population, and then certain entities and certain individuals utilize that vulnerability to take advantage of people and draw them in via internet and social media sites. They supply the site with disinformation and brings some advantage to that entity or individual. Advantage such as in monetary ways or power or political advantage ways. Okay, now I'm going to mention a name. Okay, I know this is going to be a surprise to you, especially if you've listened to me before. Now, how does Donald Trump and other people of power and influence fit into this particular discussion? Well, from my medical doctor's point of view, looking at Donald Trump and other people in positions of power in our society who sing Mr. Trump's praises, I find myself zeroing in on his use of disinformation in it, and that is his ongoing persistence of lying, untruths, repetitively, without faltering. And this is interesting. I think you ought to listen to this. It's a type of personality trait that I haven't experienced much in my life as a doctor or in family or friends. I just haven't. is kind of a new thing to me since Trump came around and people started believing his ongoing lies. So when we healthcare professionals look at personality traits in people, all personality traits in people, and we find some traits that are present in some people that fall into various categories, and some categories are considered abnormal, which we might call pathological, abnormal. However, in people who lie incessantly, and I mean that as in not simply people who lie, you know, occasionally for a variety of reasons, but people who are incessantly lying, there's actually, I want you to know, medically and psychiatrically speaking, there's in my, for the, what I was finding out upon reading about this, there's actually two categories to be considered relative to diagnosis or diagnosing a specific personality abnormality relative to persistent lying. And those two categories are pathological lying, and the other category is compulsive lying. Let me tell you what those how they vary, because that helps me and you hopefully understand Donald Trump and his specific diagnosis. Again, in people who unfortunately do ongoing incessant lying, the two categories are compulsive lying and pathologic lying. Compulsive lying, what is that? It's a person with what is categorized as, a person with what is categorized as compulsive lying is a person who finds themselves in an ongoing habit of lying, often starting in early childhood for a variety of reasons possible. The lies can be small lies or large issues that they're lying about. They are generally in compulsive lying, generally not lying in order to manipulate other people. They're not, but simply are just doing it out of habit. Now, when you're dealing with somebody who's doing that, they might avoid eye contact, kind of sheepishly doing it, maybe seem a bit nervous about the subject that they're talking about. Sometimes their lies have no specific reason or benefit to them. And here's an important point. The person who is categorized as ongoing liar, doing it in an incessant way, the person who is categorized as compulsive liar generally knows the difference. This is key. They generally know the difference between reality and lies. That's an important point. They generally know the difference between reality and lies. And that's the reason I'm saying it's an important point, is because that's to be contrasted with pathologic lying. So now I'm going to go on to pathologic lying. A person with what is categorized as pathologic lying is generally doing so in order to get their way, and may have little awareness of even that they're doing such. Their brain doesn't cognitively, openly, or consciously allow them to know they're doing that. Pathologic lying also usually begins in childhood, as in compulsive lying, maybe because of some trauma or abuse or even genetic predisposition to that. However, as opposed to compulsive lying, pathologic lying is much more likely to be present along with another mental health disorder, such as narcissistic personality disorder, as in Donald Trump, or antisocial personality disorder. And I'm not sure about Trump with that one. And here's another point. A person with pathologic lying may create extravagant stories that they might change and change over time. And they may actually believe their lies. And here's another important point. They have a less than adequate, this is important when you're talking about a president of the United States or any other political position, they have less than adequate understanding of actual reality. So here again, we're talking about an office, of the presidency of the United States of America with a disorder that leaves the person's brain, it's a disorder, with a less than adequate understanding of actual reality. People with this disorder are specifically goal-oriented with their lives, for instance, in order to obtain what they're looking for or desiring, in order to get their way. And finally, and this is also important, a person with pathological lying generally has little regard or respect for the rights or feelings of other people. I'm going to say it again. So the person with pathological lying generally has little regard or respect for the rights or feelings of other people. And this is a disorder. This is not they sit down and say, hey, I'm going to lie today. No, this is a brain disorder. This is inherent in their brain. And as as I indicated, sometimes it's even, you know, follows families. It could be a genetic, finding in certain families. In my opinion, this is the diagnostic category where Donald Trump fits. Pathologic lying. Treatment options for pathologic lying and for compulsive lying can include psychotherapy and other ongoing counseling, including family counseling, because as you can imagine, often that affects family members, and possibly a category of non-habit-forming psychiatric medications. And that category I call neuroleptics. I'm not going to go into what those exactly are at this time. But so the problem with the treatment options of psychotherapy and counseling and even medication options, for somebody who has pathologic lying, it's such a inherent brain function abnormality. And remember, they don't often have a grasp of reality, like of true reality, and they believe their lies. So they're less likely, unfortunately, to seek out or okay psychotherapy or other counseling or medications. Somebody who is a compulsive liar, that's a different story. They may be very open to treatments, apparently. So part of the problem in our society right now is that an influential person such as Donald Trump has this disorder, pathologic lying disorder. And in his specific case, he also has narcissistic personality disorder, which I'm not going to talk about right now. You could look that one up. These don't bode well for us, the people of the country or the world. Think about it. He lies on an ongoing basis. He seems to even believe his lies. He has a poor understanding of actual reality. He cares about his goals only. He has little regard for the rights or feelings of other people. And in his case, he has also narcissistic personality disorder accompanying his pathologic lying personality trait. And I certainly, as a doctor and a human and a guy with a brain myself, suspect that there are other world leaders with similar personality disorders as Trump. I remember thinking that Bolsonaro in Brazil likely had something, some similarities to Trump's disorders. So it's obviously a danger for world leaders of any world leaders to have personality traits and disorders that we've talked about that exist with Donald Trump. It's not good and it's scary. And remember, the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. And thank you for listening. Well, now what I want to do is go through one after another of brief tidbits of medical news that I think will be that I think I should share with you. And the first one is a little blurb that I read from Senator Elizabeth Warren. I'm sorry to say, she reminds me again about Donald Trump. She reminds us that when Donald Trump first ran for president in 2016, he promised to appoint Supreme Court justices who would oppose a woman's reproductive right to choose abortion. So if that woman felt that that was necessary in her specific personal case in life, Trump was going to choose Supreme Court justices who opposed that. Okay. And that's exactly what he did when he took office. He appointed Supreme Court justices who opposed that element of a woman's own private reproductive rights. Then, as we've seen, our Supreme Court indeed struck down what had been the Roe versus Wade law of the land relative to the ability and the right for women's reproductive decisions themselves, not to be made by any government entity. So Senator Warren advises us that Mr. Trump and also Trump-supporting MAGA Republicans, their goals are likely to try to get the FDA to approve for, to reverse an approval of an ongoing medication that is approved and has been approved ongoing for medical abortion use, mifepristone. And there are those in that MAGA Republican list who also potentially are in favor of restricting other birth control methods in the future for whatever reason, be it religious or whatever their reasons are. They're dipping into taking away further rights of women in this country, and it's wrong. Okay, moving on. I'm sorry about these sad, I'm not being very cheery today. Here's a not cheery thing. I'm a doctor. I look at and see what's going on. Deaths of children and other civilians in an ongoing fashion in Gaza. And I'm just going to simply tell you this. If you want to hear or read reports from medical doctors, including doctors from the United States who have been in Gaza recently or are continuing to work in Gaza, one source of that firsthand witnessing kind of information can be obtained via an entity called Democracy Now. And Democracy Now! Is an independent news source here in the United States and here on KZFR 90.1 FM, the station you're listening to right now. Democracy Now! Again is an independent news source Monday through Friday, 8 in the morning to 9 in the morning, Monday through Friday. And you can also obtain that you're able to get that to come to your email as well, so that you can take your own time and pace at reading it. I have it coming to my email. It's very handy. All right, now I'm going to go into some other news briefs. This one, I ran across a CBS News article about pesticide presence in certain cereals, oats, cereals made from oats. Now, the article is entitled, quote, "Pesticide Linked to Reproductive Issues Found in Cheerios and Quaker Oats." And that was a CBS News article on February 20th, 2024. It has to do with a pesticide called chlormaquat, which is a fungicide. It's been noted and reported by testing done by a group called the Environmental Working Group. It did not involve findings only in Cheerios and Quaker Oats, but rather found in the majority of oat-based foods sold in the United States and other countries, of course. Know this, however, the amounts or levels of this particular pesticide, a fungicide, chlormaquat, which has reproductive, it can affect our reproductive issues in people. The levels were low. That is, not levels that are of immediate major concern, but are nonetheless notable. I think the bottom line that we should take from this kind of concern about pesticide presence is something that we need to continue to be aware of. And again, as I've personally said on this show many times over the years, it is wise for all of us to eat organically grown food. Again, I say it is wise for all of us to eat organically grown food. That's my doctor brain telling or saying that. Okay, now I'm going to go on to some American Medical Association morning rounds medical news blurbs that come to my email address. I'm not a member of the American Medical Association, but nonetheless, I get these news blurbs Monday through Friday on my email account, and I'm pleased with this. Is something I'm pleased about the AMA about helping with the dissemination of news to us docs anyway, and other people, I assume. Okay, the first little blurb is from a journal called Heart. It's about the use of COVID vaccine and how that, the use of COVID vaccine, they found, can cut the risk of heart failure and blood clots after a person has a COVID infection. Therefore, after an acute COVID infection, obtaining vaccinations for COVID reduces the risk of heart failure by 55% and blood clots reduced by up to 78%. This, and secondly, another one from the Journal of Medical Virology, in other words, virus stuff. The medication potential use in acute COVID infections called Paxlovid, which is nirtremlovir with ritonavir, did not reduce the risk for long COVID among those people who were vaccinated, non-hospitalized, and received Paxlovid within that first month of their COVID infection. So, in other words, the use of Paxlovid, where it may help with the acute case, has not seemed to decrease the likelihood for long COVID, unfortunately. Okay, from a site, another issue, from a site called The Hill, this article is a reminder about a medication called Singulair or Montelukast is the generic name. Singulair is the brand name. It's a pill for asthma and some other allergy problems. It's not a real strong actor in helping with asthma or other allergy problems, in my opinion, as a medical doctor. But nonetheless, here's an important point that we all should know when it comes to a potential side effect to that medication, which otherwise doesn't have much in the way of side effects. And that is this fact was presented on this Hill publication. The Attorney General's Office for the State of New York is encouraging the Federal Drug Administration, the FDA, to address via stronger warnings that medication, Montelukast, or Singulair, has been found over the last 4 years, it's been found to potentially put people at risk, some people at risk for mental health side effects such as depression and agitation, with the most particularly vulnerable being children, and there are children on this product as well, of course, but it can affect all age groups. So that's something I think we all should know. If you or your loved one are on Singulair or Montelukast, remember there are potential mental health side effects of agitation and depression. You should watch for that. And there should be a stronger warning via the FDA, and I agree with that. Okay, now next. This was in the New York Times. They did a report stating the NIH did a study relative to patients with chronic fatigue syndrome. And that chronic fatigue condition, if you want the fancy name, is now called, get this, myalgic encephalomyelitis / chronic fatigue syndrome. Myalgic encephalomyelitis chronic fatigue syndrome. Anyway, I think this is an interesting fact, that the point is that chronic, that I want you to hear me say that I think it's helpful that the condition of chronic fatigue syndrome is step by step being we're in a step by step process finding a greater understanding of the reality of chronic fatigue syndrome. I think that's important. Anyway, this NIH study was a finding that indeed there are notable physiologic differences in some things in people with chronic fatigue syndrome, including the immune system function, differences in the cardiorespiratory function, differences in the gut microbiome. In other words, the bacteria in our gut that are that we live with and we wouldn't live without, and different activities in the brain in these patients with chronic fatigue syndrome when compared to people without chronic fatigue syndrome. I think that's important to know. Therefore, it's appearing over time that more solid physiologic findings are being identified in people who have, indeed, chronic fatigue syndrome. Next, this is from a journal called JAMA Psychiatry. So the journal, an American Medical Association Journal of Psychiatry, this article first notes that the death rate among pregnant women in the United States is 2 to 3 times higher than it is in other, quote-unquote, high-income countries. I'm going to say that again. The death rate among pregnant women in the United States is 2 to 3 times higher in our country, the United States, compared to other high-income countries. Then, in this JAMA Psychiatry Journal article, they go on to point out that the leading cause of deaths in pregnant women in the United States is related to mental illness. The leading cause of deaths in pregnant women in the United States is due to mental illness. And finally, they point out the deficits in our addressing this. In other words, they point out that our national initiatives developed in our country to combat this higher death rate among women, pregnant women in the United States, do not adequately prioritize helping the mental health conditions present, unfortunately. That needs to be changed. Next, and this is strictly American Medical Association News blurb themselves, and this has to do with something called, in relative to firearms control, bump stocks. And the issue of us here in this country continuing to work to decrease the presence of automatic multiple-shot weapons in the civilian population in our country. Here's my current point. There are healthcare professional organizations now requesting the Supreme Court to hear oral arguments. In other words, they filed a joint amicus brief stating that bump stocks should be wisely placed in the same category as machine guns, thereby appropriately restricting them in our country. And listen to this. I'm pleased that there are these medical associations pushing this to be taken up by the Supreme Court. The healthcare professional organizations filing this amicus brief to the Supreme Court are the American Medical Association, various state medical associations, American Academy of Pediatrics, American College of Physicians, and the American College of Surgeons. So please listen, Supreme Court. Another AMA News blurb. The FDA is allowing Florida to import certain medications from Canada at a far lower prices than in the United States. These being some of the meds here in the U.S. that drug companies are charging astronomical fees for to us in the areas of diabetes, HIV care, hepatitis C care, and certain psychiatric conditions. So that's this little drop in the bucket of helping us as citizens of the United States fighting against the astronomical costs put to us by the for-profit pharmaceutical industries in this country and for-profit health insurance companies in this country. Here's a writer's article. Another subject. Apparently, there's a federal judge, I don't know which specific court, here in the United States, federal judge, who has ruled to strike down from the Affordable Care Act the mandate that private health insurance corporations cover a wide range of preventable care services chosen by our federal task force without copays via, again, the Affordable Care Act. This reporting currently is stating that the Biden administration is now asking the Fifth Circuit Court to overturn that judge's ruling was aiming to do away with those preventative care pieces of the Affordable Care Act. Shoot. So thank you, Biden administration, for asking the Fifth Circuit Court to overturn that judge's wrong step. Okay, here's one from JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association of Pediatrics. When studying children who are of toddler age and looking at the amount of time that they are exposed to a computer or television screens, they note this. These children at higher screen times not only have higher rates of obesity, depression, and hyperactivity, but of course, because of lower face-to-face interaction with other humans, they are potentially at a worse state or situation relative to their communication development, including speech. I thought that was an interesting point. Another JAMA, Journal of American Association article. Here's actually a little bit of good news. I wish it was bigger good news than this, but the death rate for women with breast cancer here in the U.S. has dropped by 58% from the years 1975 to the year 2019. And that good news is felt of a drop of 58% in the death rate of women with breast cancer from 1975 to 2019, a 58% drop, attributable to improvements made in both screening and treatment options. I think it should be a dramatically higher than 58% over those years, from 1975 to 2019. I would have expected it to be a higher percentage drop personally. Here's another one. This article is brief tidbit. New York Times reported FDA approved. This is interesting. This is an interesting point. It's good for us to know. A birth control pill over the counter, progesterone only. So the Federal Drug Administration, FDA, approved a progesterone only, one pill per day, birth control pill for over the counter, in other words, non-prescription. Status. It's a new one called Opill, O-P-I-L-L, and relatively inexpensively. I think it's a new pill. I'm not exactly sure that one's new, but it's a progesterone only, one pill a day. There's no estrogen in it. Anyway, it'll in the near future, if it isn't already, it's going to be over the counter. Now, the downside of that, in my doctor point of view, is that that takes out the healthcare provider as a working with the person who's on birth control pills. So I don't like the take away the provider's help in the birth control and life of the person. Wow, it just makes me think of a book in the near future to watch for by the author Dina Mose, who was a midwife here in Chico. Keep your eyes open for a new book by that midwife from Chico, last name Mose. Anyway, another article, writer's article, and this has to do with benzene, a potential carcinogen. At certain levels being found in benzyl peroxide acne treatment products, over-the-counter and prescription. That's come up. And I don't know about that, the details of that. But I think this is something that we need to keep our eyes on, see how that issue unfolds in the near future. Again, it has to do with acne treatments that contain benzyl peroxide, and the presence of benzene, which is a carcinogen at certain levels. So we need to watch that one. Okay, here's another article. This one is the on a New England Journal of Medicine article. And this was interesting, that this is an article about extremely small pieces or microscopic pieces of plastics have been found in 58% of people undergoing surgical procedures for carotid artery arteriosclerosis or atherosclerosis, which means that when they looked at a group of people who were having surgical removal of plaque in their carotid arteries, the arteries that go to the brain, that are in the neck, that go to the brain, There's carotid endarterectomy surgery. In other words, where the person's carotid arteries one by one are opened and they surgically clear out the plaque. Well, when they looked at the plaque, 58% of those people were found to have these mini microscopic pieces of plastics. Okay, that's one point. But then when they looked at those people over a 3-year time, those people with those mini microscopic pieces of plastic in their plaque were 4.5 times greater risk over those 3 years they followed them. 4.5 greater risk for developing heart attack or stroke, which is the brain thing, or just death. 4.5 times greater. So those little microscopic plastic entities in plaque, in arteries. Wow. So that, of course, puts my brain, and should put all of our brains, into thinking about plastics in our food. And what first popped into my head, the first thing that popped into my head was that I think we should all avoid putting food in anything plastic in our microwaves. I just don't think we should do it. Don't put food in something that's plastic in your microwave to heat it up. Put it in some glass type of container. Put it in a glass type container, not plastic, in your microwave. That's my opinion. And otherwise, we need to all wonder where these plastics come from, into our small microscopic molecules that come into our bodies that end up making our plaque a problem. Worse. 4.5 times greater developing heart attack, stroke, and death over 3 years when they studied it. Whoa. Okay, another. My second to the last little blurb here. This is from something called the British Journal of Sports Medicine. Now, this is a no-brainer, but I brought it up because it's a no-brainer and it's important. And that is, get this, walking regularly improves one's health. Yeah, there you go. Specifically, with a certain if a person walks on a regular basis, 10,000 steps per day or more, in the study they did, it decreased the risk for heart disease by 21% and decreased death by 39%. I don't know over what time period, but that's good news. Decreased heart disease, decreased death in people compared 10,000 steps a day or more compared to people who don't. And I say that we all would do well to listen to this type of common sense advice. Now, not get too caught up in details, but rather to build your own body activity goals in your life that you can fit into your life and do in a sustainable fashion and continue doing it from now on. And in my opinion, of course, and their opinion, to do on a regular basis. So you have to do it in a amount of time and type of activity so that you'll keep doing it. And that, if you don't have, therefore, a physically active job, and if or you're retired, or for whatever reason, you don't regularly do physical stuff, or you and you're not a person who's physically active in sports, which would be a different person, then do something such as regular walking. And this is me saying this over years of developing this. Anyway, here's what I say. A minimum of 20 to 30 minutes of walking at least 5 days per week. Regularly done. Underline that. Regularly, regularly done. If you want to do and are able to sustain more time and more days per week, then great. However, I advise that we at least do that minimum, 20 to 30, if we're able, 20 to 30 minutes of walking at least 5 days per week. Or more aggressive activity, but be careful. And remember, sustainability of it and regularness of it is the important thing. We can't forget that. Okay, the final little blurb. This is a little blurb. It has to do with people who might have this, trying to get this function off of a smartwatch if you have diabetes or don't have diabetes and are wondering if you have diabetes. And this came out in a CNN report stating the FDA warns that smartwatches that claim to measure blood glucose levels they're against that. They disapprove of that because that is not an FDA-approved function. They have not proved it to the FDA that that is adequate. So it's potential misinformation. In other words, it's potentially not adequately accurate information of what a person's blood sugar is, the information you can get from a smartwatch. Watch out, in other words. If you have diabetes, you could take that information very generally of what your sugar level could be, but not specific. Do not take it as specific reading, of course. Okay, there you go. Now, gosh, I'm almost done here, but I want to say briefly that we're seeing in recent times in the United States and other countries a rise in measles and syphilis. Those two are two infectious diseases that are on the rise. They'd been very well controlled in our country. And so now that we're talking about them again is a surprise, measles and syphilis. So the bottom line is prevention is key, and there's been complacency in preventative steps, and then the consequence is a rise in these diseases, infectious diseases in our country. The problem with measles is it's a child, and some there is a death rate in children potential relative to measles. So it's no little subject. And syphilis is a big deal, depending on especially syphilis thing is it's a venereal disease, but it's also congenital. It's in children if they're born to a mother who has syphilis. So anyway, it's a big deal. So for measles, vaccination importance is important. Vaccination, childhood vaccinations are important. Syphilis, condoms are important, as well as other preventing other venereal diseases. And not getting pregnant if you have syphilis. Duh. Shoot. I have to quit, darn it. Okay, so now, if you stay tuned and listen to this show, The Doctor's In, next month, maybe I'll talk about some more of this stuff. You never know. The third Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 in the evening. Right now, I'm going to say that The Doctor's In is made possible by the generous contributions of you, KZFR supporters, and by D.A. Lampe Construction. And Lampe is spelled L-A-M-P-E. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KZFR and Community Radio in Northern California. For more information, visit dalampeconstruction.com. And again, D.A. Lampe, L-A-M-P-E, construction.com. And by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and enjoying the great outdoors. Whew, spring, thank you. Mountain Sports is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. at 176 East 3rd Street in downtown Chico, serving Chico and the North State since 1975. Okay, thank you to those underwriters and to you, generous donors. Hey, remember this. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. And you are listening to FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico. It's a listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And you can hear it at kzfr.org also. And thanks to Mark Baker around here, the intern. And I say stay tuned to KZFR for the show Planetary Radio. Now I'm going to try to get a little bit of Dr. Wu by Steely Dan.
Just when I'd spent the last piastre I could buy.